I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 3 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Mugawa. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Coming up this hour, we'll take a look at, and this will be a two-part thing, we'll look at the teams in the East that could be the biggest competition for the Knicks and their quest of getting back to the finals for a second straight year. They're obviously going to have to go through these teams in the Eastern Conference, and there are certain teams that I can't wait to see in the playoffs, Boston Celtics, which will just be a total joy because the Boston Celtics talk a lot of crap. Their fans talk a lot of crap. And here's the bottom line. If the Knicks would have faced the Celtics in the playoffs this year, the Knicks would have completely and utterly embarrassed the Celtics. They would have swept them. They would have wiped the floor with them. It stinks that we couldn't get to see it because they're going to shut up a lot of their fans. We know they're members of the Coalition Indicators, and they think their beloved Boston Celtics would have had any type of chance against the Knicks. But here's the reality. Your team lost to the corpse of Embiid in a Game 7 in your own building. You think you would have had any chance against the Knicks? The Knicks would have swept the Celtics. The Celtics wouldn't have been no match. They would have begged for mercy by the end. We didn't get to see that. If we had, though, it would have been quick, short-order work for the Knicks over Boston. But we'll get into that coming up a little bit later. And then later on this summer, we will reevaluate it based on the offseason moves of these teams that are potential competition for the Knicks in 2027. But first, let's go to Eddie in Rockland here.
Hey.
It's after hours, Loogie in the late night. What's up, Eddie?
I'm live. I'm here. Hey, Loogie, what are you doing, brother?
Was that the opening line there, Eddie? Was that something I was supposed to react to?
Or was no, I was just than... I was in limbo, Loogie. I was limbo shocked that I got picked up.
Why?
But let's get on this. You said something about the Jets before, with the, comparing it to the Knicks run.
I go to you every time when you're on the line. Sometimes you don't wait. You hang
stay
up.
Focused.
No, I'm not going to say
stay
focused.
I'm
focused, but you throw things out there.
I like to set a timeline with you. When will
what
the
timeline?
Jets be
what
over?
What do you mean timeline? It's 3 in the morning.
The Jets
what do you
timeline
got,
of their championship
run. Oh, you
want
to do a Jets
timeline of their championship. When will the Jets be above 500? This year? Next year?
Not this year. Not next year either.
Not next. Okay. So you said they're going to. The Knicks have been in the playoff for the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So you got to get first. You got to get the Jets into the play
yes.
over 500.
Well, yeah, they got to get over 500 first. So I'm going to
okay.
say 3 years from now.
All right. So 3 years from now. Okay. When they make the playoffs?
3 years from now.
Okay. And when do they win a playoff game?
4 years from now.
4 years from now.
Yeah.
Okay, when are they in the championship game?
6 years from now.
Right. And when they win the Super Bowl?
Under 10 years.
Zippo. Right, under 10
Zippo?
Years.
Why is it Zippo? First of all, Eddie, you're a Giant fan, so
because
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you why it's Zippo. Because they don't have a...
What if they draft the next Tom Brady in next year?
And who's the name on that? Give me the name.
Okay. It could be Arch Manning. It could be Dante Moore.
Did you watch Arch Manning?
Yeah, I'd love to go back in time and hear what you said about Eli Manning. You probably thought he sucked. You probably thought he wouldn't win any championships. You and I both know you don't know what a quarterback's going to be, and that's both positive and
negative.
Really?
Well, I had season tickets from 91 to 01,
okay.
And I was, you know,
you
on Eli, but like everybody else.
You thought he'd win two Super Bowls
and
beat
Tom
Brady
twice. Everybody in New York said he was a little shaky. Yeah. He was a little shaky, but let's get back onto the Jets. Don't divert.
I gave a decade. I gave a decade that they can win a Super Bowl.
Right. And you asked me, don't you think they're doing the right things in the front office? And I don't think so. Because when you let coach, like the Giants just got it. They look at all the coaches they went through. Okay? Then they finally spent some money on a top coach. That's
but
what
they
the
also
Jets
they also
do.
Had the
Gruden,
right.
Tomlin. Where are those guys?
But Harbaugh is not picking the Giants.
Let's not baby Glenn. Pay Glenn. Move him over to the defensive coordinator.
Right.
You got Frank Reich and bring in Gruden or Tomlin or one of those two.
Picking the Giants, if not for Jackson Dart, you have to also have a quarterback in place. So the Jets are now in a position.
They got three number one draft picks.
Okay. The Jets are in a position to draft a quarterback. I don't think it's Klubnik, meaning I don't think he's going to be the guy, but the Jets will be in a position, because they're going to stink this year, to draft that quarterback next year. And if that guy, whoever they draft, ends up being a great quarterback, the Jets will be on that positive trajectory to win a Super Bowl. Now, this baby steps, it will take time.
When you set the timeline on the Jets, when they get to the playoffs, do you take in consideration the development of the new quarterback they still don't have?
Yes. Yes. Into account that you can make the playoffs quickly in a quarterback's tenure. We've seen it before where rookie quarterbacks have made the playoffs.
Now, Luke, you offered, I don't know if anybody's taking you, remember that thing you offered, to go to an event, you'll attend it?
It would be the first ever sports, a gigolo or escort. I don't really know what the PC phrase is.
With the connections? Like, if you got a connection, are you the person allowed to use your connection and pay the way, for a Super Bowl ticket?
Well, I don't know I don't even know what you're getting at. What do you mean, use
my
connection?
Well, I'll explain it to you since you're a little slow.
Entertaining, and your calls require instructions. Eddie, you think you're entertaining on the radio. You're not.
Price.
Your calls are just like, they go nowhere. So it's just...
I know, but if you got Super Bowl tickets, would I be paying the going rate or above rate?
What?
If we went to the Super Bowl, would I be paying the going rate of the ticket or extraordinary amount?
You want to take me to the Super Bowl? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if the Rams are in the Super Bowl, I'm trying to eye things up down the road. You know, so what I'm saying is, with your connection, does it come with a ticket that's not overpriced? Do you use your connection? Are you just
Eddie, is there an end in sight to this relationship we have here, or is this just going to go on and on and on and on? What are you talking about with the Rams? I thought you were a Giant fan.
Ram and Joe, well, you don't listen very clearly.
There's no and. You root for one team.
You know,
1999. You don't root for two teams. I don't care.
In 1999, I was in Atlanta.
I don't care where the hell you are. You don't root for two teams. Pick a team. What team do you root for in football?
Both. First Rams, then Giants.
What team do you root for in football? Pick one right now. Pick one.
I do. No. Rams and Giants.
So you're neither. You're neither. You root for two teams. Pick one. Eddie, and then he'll tell, next time he calls, you don't want to put me on because I'll put you on whenever, but can it go somewhere? I don't know what the heck you want to take shots at the Jets? And look, I get it. Low-hanging fruit. I'm trying to present a road to the Jets winning the Super Bowl in 10 years, and you have a problem with that? I didn't say they're going to win a Super Bowl next year. 10 years. I think that's a fair, 10 and under. I think that is a fair timeline. Because the Jets are where the Knicks used to be, which is the toilet, which is an armpit. They're awful. They own every dubious distinction in sports. They are the worst franchise in sports. They are the worst franchise in the NFL. They have the longest playoff drought across the four major sports. They have horrible ownership. It appears like they don't have the right guy as their coach. But how quickly things can change. And you don't build a champion overnight.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I think 10 years is a fair timeline. And the Jets have certainly put themselves in a position by trading away their core, getting picks. They have put themselves in a position to land the big one, to land that quarterback. And if they do that and they get the right guy, all of a sudden, we could start talking about the Jets like we talk about the Knicks. And yeah, you can make the playoffs first year as a quarterback. I mean, Drake May made the Super Bowl in his second year. C.J. Stroud made the playoffs in his first year. Josh Allen had instant success. Patrick Mahomes had instant success. So on and so forth and so forth. I think Jackson Dart will have success early on in his career. I got the Giants in the playoffs this year, so that would be his second year, his first full year. I know Eddie comes from the school of where the quarterback learns for 16 years behind the starting quarterback, and it's, forget that. Quarterback should start right out of the gate. I said that about Dart. I was right about Dart. Once the Jets have their guy, and I don't think it's Klubnik, but once they have their guy, he should play right out of the gate, learn on the fly, and you speed up his process. Plus, I think quarterbacks come into the league and they're more ready to win right out of the gate. They're ready to win right out of the gate. Or ready to play in the league, that's for sure. Now, as far as the competition here for the Knicks, let's first start with Detroit, a team that had the best regular season success out of anybody over the Knicks, and it certainly seemed like the Pistons were going to be a tough mountain to climb for the Knicks in the playoffs. Now, we didn't get to see the matchup based on what Detroit did against Orlando, where they were lucky to get out of there with their sports lives. They should have lost that series a couple times over. If it wasn't for Orlando not being able to buy a shot, they'd have been, they being Detroit, home a lot sooner. They ultimately, Detroit did, lost the Game 7 in their building, which they were booed out of. They lost to the gutless, spineless, heartless Cavs. Tells you all you need to know about where Detroit was at. Detroit still is lacking that second star. I'm still not ready to put Cade Cunningham in the same category as a Jalen Brunson. The Pistons are still not an experienced team, so I don't think they're ready to win. I didn't think they were ready to win this year. I don't think they're ready to win next year. So Detroit is not the team standing in the way of the Knicks. Boston. Oh, the Celtics and the Celtics and the Celtics. Their front court stinks. Now, this is a team where we could have a different conversation in a couple months. But for right now, the front court is an embarrassment. This, and as it should be. KP gone, Horford gone, Cornette gone. I mean, the lineup they put out there in that Game 7 against the Sixers was laughable. Who knows if Jaylen Brown's going to be around, but he's there right now. So for right now, the Celtics, if they were to stand in front of the Knicks, much like Detroit, they would have gotten their doors blown off. So they don't present any problems currently for the Knicks. Miami, same thing. Currently, they get Giannis, we'll have a different conversation. But currently, I don't see anything from Miami. Cleveland, gutless, spineless, sports losers. Soft, weak-minded, analytical geeks. Give me Cleveland every day, twice on Sunday. They have less than zero shot of beating the Knicks. Less. The Knicks could oversleep. They could show up at halftime, be down 50, and still beat the Cavs. Orlando, still a team on the rise. Not enough offense, not enough go-to players down the stretch that can get them buckets. Defensively, they could put you in the meat grinder, but much like Detroit, they can have so many valleys where they don't score. And injuries continue to be a problem for them. Atlanta, who should have gotten the second-place trophy here, they were the only team to actually beat the Knicks twice in this playoff run. Like them, team on the rise. Don't think they have enough currently constructed to be a threat next year to the Knicks. Which leads me to Indiana. If you had one team right now that I think would pose the biggest challenge for the Knicks, it's Indiana. If Halliburton doesn't go down, they beat the Thunder in the championship. They're deep. They're well coached. They play defense. They have a pain in the neck in Halliburton. They certainly are not intimidated at all by the Knicks, Madison Square Garden. So if there was one team, it's not the Pistons, it's not the Celtics, it's not Miami, it's not Orlando, it's not Cleveland, it's not Atlanta. It's Indiana. Even this year, with Indiana being down, they always give the Knicks a fight. They always give them trouble. Now, I'm here for it. Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks-Pacers, sign me up. Right after the Knicks sweep the Celtics, sign me up. I'm here for it. And I think the Knicks get it done. But if you had to say, hey, give me a team that right now, on June 22nd, that poses the biggest threat for the Knicks in defending their crown and getting back to the finals, it's Indiana. Let's go to Dominic in North Carolina here on After Hours. What's up, Dom?
Yeah, Tommy, I just wanted to comment on that last call. You're talking about
Eddie in Rockland, who roots for two football teams. He roots for the Giants and the Rams. By the way, they're both in the same conference, too. So it's not like, hey, I root for an AFC team, NFC team.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Oh, you're going to defend Eddie? No, hold on a second, Dom. Come on now. You're better than this. You're going to defend him?
Well, hold on one second. Just let me develop my thought. You know, nowadays, the kids, you know, they have their thruples and their polycules and whatnot. Why can't you have a sports polycule?
A what?
I'm saying the kids today, you know, in their relationships, they have their thruples and their polycules.
They do?
And things of this
nature. What are you talking about? Monogamous relationships? What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about these relationships they have, which they have.
Yeah, but we're not talking about women. We're talking about sports. You have one sport team for each of the major sports. That's it. Now,
wait a second.
Can you have a soft spot? Like, let me put it to you this way. If the Jets ever got to the Super Bowl, and I have them on a 10-year plan, if they got there, they would have my support. I would be rooting for them. I would not. Let's put it this way. The next time the Jets are back in the Super Bowl, they got to win the Super Bowl. Nobody deserves that as a fan base. So I'll be rooting for them, but I don't root for the Jets.
But if you're not even going to have, you know, monogamy in relationships, why can't you have, like, you know, polygamy in sports?
Well, hold on a second, Dom. Do you know a lot of thruple sports fans?
You know, you mean sports fans who are in thruples?
Yeah.
Or you mean sports fans?
Well, in general, I mean, we could do relationships or sports.
Who are in thruples.
Okay. So do you know a lot of people? Do you know a lot of people? Well, listen, you could meet everybody on your phone these days. Do you know a lot of people with their fandom that root for multiple teams? Not just across the sports, but let's say I have three baseball teams I root for, four hockey teams.
Well,
do you know people like that?
No, because nowadays going to a sporting event is more expensive than having a relationship. So
what does that have to do with that?
I mean, you can really only afford one team.
If you're dating four people, I would imagine, unless you get a group rate, that would be quite expensive.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right, so then why would you then, and if you have multiple sports teams, you don't have to go to the games. You could just watch on your couch, so it would actually be cheaper. So I ask you again, do you know somebody in your life, is it you, that roots for multiple teams in one sport?
I know people like myself who have grown up in New York and moved to other areas often have multiple teams.
Okay, so you're trying to say that since you've moved from New York, you then root for teams that are closer to where you live now.
Yes, and
sadly, you have
a soft spot,
for the New York teams, but really you root for whatever team is down in North Carolina.
Right. Yeah, in my case, personally, you know, I grew up a Jet fan. I moved to North Carolina, so now I'm a Panthers fan.
Right.
So it's kind of like being in a thruple.
But you're not a Jet fan anymore.
Women.
Yeah. You're not a Jet fan.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not a Jet fan.
I don't
fan.
Know about that.
Well, you're not. If you root for the Panthers and you no longer root for the Jets, you're no longer a Jet fan. You got divorced, and now you have a new wife. You don't have two wives.
Wait a second.
You can't love two women at the same time. It's hard enough loving one woman at the same time. What do you mean?
If
now
you
got
two kids.
We're talking
you love
relationships.
Them equally?
But we're not talking kids. We're talking about relationships. You're the one that brought up the monogamy.
No, I think the problem, Tommy, is that you just don't have enough space in your heart for love.
I got plenty of space for it, by the way. I got plenty of space everywhere in my body for love. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about loyalty to one sports team.
Yeah, I think that's passe.
Now, do you think these thruple people that you speak of are also thruple in their sports relationship and they'd love to come on After Hours and explain to this audience how to be in a thruple and also to be in a thruple relationship, not only in life, but with sports?
Absolutely.
You do. So you have a plethora of people that you know, Dom.
Well, I know of people, not
what do you mean of people? You're aware of them? Do you have direct contact with these people?
Yeah.
Okay, so can you directly contact them and let them know that they are needed on after hours?
Okay.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. You're the one laughing now. You're the one that brought this to me. I am a one team per sport type of person. You're the one that brought in monogamy. So if you're going to bring in the monogamy, rather than being vague, actually provide those people to us so that we could pick their brain. Is it more of a Southern thing? Is that what you're telling me? Is this a North Carolina thing?
No, I just think you're not that broad-minded. I think.
Well, what does that mean? You're the second person this hour to call me an idiot. What do you mean I'm not broad-minded?
I didn't say you're an idiot.
Well, you kind of did that. Because by saying I'm not broad-minded, you're insinuating that I'm stupid.
No, you need to entertain multiple points of view.
I am entertaining it. I'm actually not only entertaining it, I'm welcoming it on my show. But you need to provide people to explain it so that I could see if it's the right way to go or the wrong way to go. My initial take is one team per the four major sports.
Yeah, I think that's a relic of the past. But, you know, what you could do is you could have like a whole segment with people who are in polyamorous.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How about a hall pass? How about I root for my team.
Yeah.
But if they get eliminated, I am provided with a hall pass that year to root for another team. You have your fun with that team. Perhaps you go all the way, but then you go back to your other team. You don't stick with that team, though, and you don't speak about that team with your team. So it's a hall pass.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, Tommy, if you're willing to grant a hall pass,
right,
then you ought to be willing to grant polyamory.
No,
Shaw line.
A hall pass is a totally different thing.
That's the line where he asked the woman, you know, would you sleep with me for money? And she said no. And he says, would you sleep for me with $1 million? And she says yes. He says, well, we've established what you are. Now we're just negotiating price.
Well, hold on a second, Dom.
You're talking about degrees there.
Yeah, but no, I'm not. Because to me, when you're talking about hall pass, you're talking about physical, you're talking about sex, when you're talking sports sex. When you're talking about actually rooting for another team, now that's the emotional stuff, that's the passion, that's the heart part. That, to me, is way worse than just having a one-night or, in this case, a 10-week fling with the basketball team or a 5-week fling with the football team.
Well, you know, like I say, there's not everybody thinks that way anymore.
But that's why you're here, Dom, to incorporate that into this show. I still think I'm in more of the majority than the minority. And like I said, could be this is how we handle it up here. That's how you handle it down there. But you are a former New Yorker. When you were up here in New York, did you feel like there was a lot of monogamous sports relationships?
Yes, yes, yes. You're right about that.
So it is more of a thing. Well, also, too, you live in North Carolina where there is no baseball team. So you might be,
correct,
hey, I root for you root for players. So that's part of it. Here we have not only one team, but we have multiple teams. We have choices. So I think you see less of the monogamous sports relationships here.
No, I only have one baseball team, and it's the Mets. And in fact, I'm going to the Met game on Friday night against the Phillies.
Are you going with multiple women? Or just one?
No, but I did book that visit with Mr. and Mrs. Met, and I would love to get in a throuple there. I got to tell you.
Again, you know, that's something that you're going to have to clear with Mr. Met. I don't know if Mr. and Mrs. Met get down like that. I think they're just, because you remember that, what was that Rockies mascot? He tried to get his dinosaur paws all over Mrs. Yeah. Met. And if I'm Mr. Met, I wouldn't have that dinosaur, whatever his dopey name is, coming here and strolling here with his dinosaur muscles and try to take my sweetheart away. So, Dom, if you try to get your paws all over Mrs. Met, even though you want to have a throuple, you might run into a situation where Mr. Met goes, she's a one woman, or in this case, one large baseball-headed man, as far as her relationships go.
I know it's $154 for 2 minutes, so I think we've established what Mrs. Met is.
Well, you watch your tongue, you bite your tongue, and you be careful what you say about Mrs. Met. And quite frankly, Mr. Met. Because have you seen the muscles on Mr. Met? He'll take you apart.
Mr. Met is ripped. He did go to the gym. I agree with you. But let me ask you a question since we're talking about Mr.
certainly,
Met.
And Mrs. Met is put together as well in the best possible ways. Yeah.
How could we have existed for decades and decades and decades and not have any Little Met?
What do you mean existed for decades? No Little Met. Interesting.
No little mat.
No baby mat.
I mean, do you think maybe that's a lavender kind of thing going on?
No, maybe it's one of those things where baby mat didn't want to get into the family business. He didn't want mascot nepotism, and he decided to not be in the limelight. And perhaps Mr. and Mrs. Mat, early stages of baby mat, didn't want him in the limelight, so we never saw him. And as soon as he became young adult or teenage Met or acne Met, he decided, I don't want to go into the family business. I'm going to be, away from the spotlight. And that's why we've never heard of him. He might be an accountant somewhere. He might be doing something else, and he just didn't get into the mascot game. Because what are you insinuating, that Mr. and Mrs. Met don't have they don't do anything after hours? What do you think? They just
maybe
go home and play?
Maybe their heads get in the way?
Well, what do you mean?
Maybe their heads get in the way and they have mechanical infertility?
I don't know about that. What do you think? They go home and play Uno? That they don't have an intercourse? I would imagine. Have you seen Mrs. Met? I'm sure Mr. Met gets after it. But the bottom. Mrs. Met.
Why do you think I want to be in a throuple, baby?
Well, listen, Dom, again, good luck with all that throuple. Good luck with Mr. and Mrs. Met. And when you're there, tell Mr. Met, I got to look up his name. What the heck is that Rockies mascot's name? Dinger. Yeah, that Dinger tried to get his dinosaur paws all over Mrs. Met. He thinks he could just stroll into town with those two big horns and think he could be the big man on campus, and he's going to sweet talk Mrs. Met for a night out on the town. Aren't you extinct anyway? Is that the pickup line? Hey, baby. The rest of the dinosaurs are extinct, but I'm not. So I'm going to come in here with my horns, two huge horns, and I'm going to pull the robbery, and I'm going to get Mrs. Met to come back to Colorado with me, and she's going to be Mrs. Dinger. And Mr. Met's going to be left holding the bag. Now, does Mr. Met move on? That's the tricky part. Does he quickly go into a relationship? But yeah, to imply that Mr. and Mrs. Met have an open relationship, or not even an open relationship. Yeah, I guess you'd have to have an open relationship. To have a throuple, I would think you'd have to have an open relationship. I don't know all the rules of that, but I would imagine. You certainly have to have a sense of humor, that's for sure. Which I guess you'd have to have if your head is a baseball. Like at some point you look in the mirror and you go, my head is a baseball. My wife's head is a baseball. We don't have first names. That is an odd existence. And I wonder what Mr. and Mrs. Met do in the offseason. Like, what do they do? Do they just walk around with giant baseball heads and do nothing? Yeah, I don't know about that. But good luck, Dom. And we'd love to hear from you, by the way. If that's what you do, and would you pay like $200 for that? Please let us know. Two things, homework assignments, Dom. Because you are a good caller. And you are actually funny, unlike Eddie and Rockland. Throuple, as far as sports fandom and life, and also, whatever happens between you, Mr. and Mrs. Met, I want to hear about it, so you better spill the tea. You're not in the mood? You get in the mood. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. If you are on hold right now, we will get to you, so don't worry. We got another hour and a half, so plenty of time to take your phone calls. We'll talk more about the Knicks and their offseason, which starts basically in 48 hours. Night one of the draft is Tuesday night. So there's a lot to get into. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night. Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
35 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It's after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We love Josh Hart for many reasons. He embodies New York. He embodies New York City. Hard hat. Tough guy. Does all the little things on a basketball court, all the dirty work, rebounds, loose balls, steals. At one point, he played every minute I was just saying, hey, I think the Knicks clone Josh Hart, or he's the most gifted specimen in terms of endurance we've ever seen in the history of the NBA. He's obviously the sort of the sports devil to the sports angel of Jalen Brunson. You know, they won the NBA Cup and he gave Jalen a little check there, a little oil change. Is that what they call it? The oil change? Or oil check. I think that's what they call it. That was insane when they had when he did the oil check thing after the NBA Cup, and we brought it up on the air. Apparently, this is something that's like rampant with young people giving each other oil checks. Which, listen, I mean, to each its own. Exactly. But apparently we got some calls from some girls at sorority houses. They're doing this. I guess sign me up for that. But still, this is the type of behavior going on in colleges these days. Anywho. Josh Hart did that to Jalen Brunson, which Jalen wasn't exactly a big fan of. And then Josh Hart's wife did it to Josh. I guess that's a receipt. Or they just do that at the Hart household. I don't know. But she did it to her husband, along with the little twerking going on as well, on the float. But you love Josh Hart because he is a straight shooter, very opinionated. And over the weekend, he had an opinion that I had, which just warmed the cockles of my heart when I heard it, because, pun intended on that one, because it's exactly what I said, and it's so true. And that is, the Spurs won their championship when they beat the Thunder. That's certainly how they acted. Because Wemby's crying. They're celebrating like they won the championship. They thought they won the championship. The Knicks will be pushovers. We'll take quick work of them come finals time. And that's the furthest thing from what happened. Because the Knicks beat them in five. The Knicks made quick work of the Spurs. And those tears of joy from Wemby turned into tears of defeat. And I think that Wemby's stock completely plummeted during this playoff run. He came off like a entitled, sore loser, immature baby that was a dirty player, got away with a lot too, because he's coddled by the media and the league. Didn't want to shake hands, which there'll come a point where he has to shake Jalen Brunson's hand. He's not going to get away with that one forever. Jalen Brunson will make sure of it. Wemby is now a major villain, not only in New York, but in the NBA. And if that's what he wanted, then mission accomplished. But I'm pretty confident that the league wanted him to be the face of the sport. And he's anything but. He's probably more of the ass than the face. And to me, Wemby carried himself, whether it was skipping media sessions after games, elbowing people in the face, trying to put his foot in the landing spot of Jalen Brunson, which is trying to hurt somebody, palming Jalen Brunson's head and trying to throw him to the ground, not shaking hands after the game, the see you never quote after game five in the press conference, which sounds like something a high school student would say, not a player in the NBA. Would say. And it was just a bad look for, not for the Spurs, but more for Wemby. And like I said, he just came off like a spoiled, immature brat. And not the future face of the league or a future champion. And Wemby would certainly do himself a service if he took a page out of the book of Jalen Brunson on how to be a professional. Jalen Brunson won a championship, and the first thing he did was shake the hand of the opposing coach and then hug his dad. He didn't act like a child and have a temper tantrum and then walk off the court. And by the way, I know the Pistons did this. I know the bad boy Pistons did this, but to the Bulls. But guess what? They won back-to-back championships. There was beef between Isaiah and Michael Jordan. There still is. But when you win the chip 2 years in a row, you could do whatever the hell you want. If they took their pants down and walked off the court, they certainly earned that right, the Pistons did. Wemby hasn't earned a damn thing to be behaving like this hasn't won anything. And yet, he couldn't have behaved, in my opinion, any more poorly, including crying after you win. Bro, you didn't win the championship, and you're crying? She's crying, sir. Treat these women like you would treat your daughter. Did anybody ever tell you you look like a... Well, I guess you could say this on the warm-up show, because they use potty language there, but I can't say it. I can say the word, I just choose not to. Did anybody ever tell you you look like a male body part with a hat on? Yeah, I mean, I was listening to the morning show the other day. I got to talk to Jerry and Al about this. They were discussing Bill Parcells and his young girlfriend and some activities they may do. I couldn't believe you could say that on the radio. I mean, I guess you can, but I was just driving home going, okay, okie dokie. You know what it is, too? And I'll talk to Al and Jerry about this. Now that it's summer and the sun comes out at 5 o'clock, like if they had said that in the winter and it's dark out and you feel like it's a little after hours, it's edgy. Now it's 5 a.m., the sun's out. So I feel like in the way they were talking about this, I was like, well, the sun's out here. I don't know, it's just weird. That's just probably me being a prude there. And just not knowing what I could say on the radio yet. I'm still at the point where I'm like, I think I could say this. Not sure I could say this. So I always try to toe the line a little bit. Bottom line is this. How does my voice sound, by the way? What do you guys think? This is what happens when you do 7 shows last week. I feel like a little bit of the hoarse voice, which is probably an upgrade for me. That's probably an upgrade. Because normally my voice, and did you hear my singing voice when the video with Evan? Very good, I might add. Do I sing in the shower? Yes. Do I sing in the car on the way to work? You think? Of course I do. Do people call me the songbird of my generation? Yeah, I'm that good. But when my voice gets a little raspy like this, I think it's kind of sexy. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tony is in Providence. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Tommy, hey. Excellent points. Can you hear me? Excellent okay. points. He's a sore loser. He's not the face of the league.
Wemby, yeah.
And he's not. And the NBA would be foolish to go with him. And you mentioned Brunson. He went up to the opposing coach. Absolutely right. He handled it well. I'm so happy. And he got away with a lot. If you watch the videos again of the game, I couldn't believe the non-calls. He gets, like, special treatment. He's not Mr. James. He's not in so-and-so. You know, we can go on and on and on. I mean, he's one player who has a lot to learn in a short period of time.
Yeah, listen, Brunson is a gentleman, a professional, a winner. And he showed all of that once the Knicks won the championship by going up to Mitch Johnson, shaking his hand. Wemby stormed off the court like a baby, like a brat. And he has a lot to learn about being the face of the league, whether it's skipping media sessions. You can't skip the podium. You lose a game, you got to meet the media. I know it could at times be monotonous and tough to do in terms of just, you know, not the most fun thing in the world, especially off a loss. But as a professional, that's your job. That's what you get paid a lot of money to do. You got to do it. After a game, especially once you lose in the finals, you shake hands. You don't act like a baby, but that's what Wemby chose to do. And now he is, to me, the villain of the league, which is, I don't think, what they wanted from him. They wanted him to be the face.
Right. That's going to be a hot ticket to get that. I want to see that game, huh? When they play him again in the Garden, watch out. That's going to be crazy.
Well, listen, Wemby is a hated man around here, sports hate. And when he steps foot in New York, whether it be over the summer, whether it be at Madison Square Garden in this season, you know, he's going to hear it from Knick fans because he put himself in this situation by acting the way he acted. And he is now public enemy number one. You could get rid of a Trae Young, get rid of a Tyrese Halliburton. It is now Victor Wembanyama.
I agree. And the Knicks have a damn good chance of repeating. I really do. As long as Mr. Dolan keeps the team together.
Yeah. Yeah, and Tony, a lot was made about James Dolan's comments on Craig's show last week, on the eve of the parade and the second apron. I don't think it's going to be a big deal, meaning I think Leon Rose is going to speak to James Dolan and he's going to tell him We can go to the second apron. It's not going to handcuff us. We're trying to retain players. We're not trying to acquire players. We can get out of the second apron just as easily as we can get into it. We want to run this back. Here's how we do it. Here's why we should do it. And here's how we get out of the second apron. And much like James Dolan has done throughout the Leon Rose, you know, tenure, he's listened to Leon. He's let Leon cook. And Leon has brought Dolan. He's brought the Knicks. He's brought this great city and this great fan base, myself included, a championship. So why not listen to the guy?
Right. Why not listen to him? And you're right. The Thunder, that was near a championship. And you can't get that way. They took the Knicks for granted. And it has happened. Maybe you've seen it in many sports where sometimes you're right. Getting to the Super Bowl or the championship. You're like, yeah, we'd be the team we're supposed to beat. New team, but they took us for granted, and that's what happened. And but the passion was there. I just thought it'd be a matter of time, and I just said, no, they're gonna win. And people say, no way, Tony. I said, no, you watch. Knicks will find a way. I told you on the radio. I said, I'm the fan. They were gonna find a way.
Positive,
I didn't know how
Tony.
Many games it was gonna go.
Yeah.
I don't know how many games it was gonna go. The game they lost, they should have won. We know that, and they could have won it at home in New York. That's the only.
Tony, and I've said this a few times, but you know, first time talking to you, and obviously there's always a new audience listening. Yeah, the Knicks didn't win the championship technically at Madison Square Garden, but that game four, to me, they won the championship that night, and to come back from 29 points down and make history, the largest comeback in the history of the finals, I think that was as good as winning the championship. So what everybody in that building got that night was just as special as winning the championship, and then they close it out in the next game. So I think that if you were able to be at game four, whether you're a celebrity or not, you got to see the championship that night. You got an unforgettable game with an unforgettable comeback, an unforgettable moment that Anunoby did with the tip-in. So that was awesome. I don't think they needed to come back for game six. You know what I mean? You got the moment in game four, and then you close it out on Saturday in San Antonio.
Right. And that tip-in was the best. That play will always be there. And I'm glad that Ewing was involved. They had Ewing in the parade, and the fans gave him love because I remember those days, and you can never forget about the old days. And it's good to see him, the love that he deserves.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks do a great job of honoring their alum. I thought it was awesome that Clyde got to be a part of the parade. Remember, there was no parade for the Knicks when Clyde was winning championships, so this was his first chance to be a part of a ticker tape parade, although there wasn't a lot of ticker tape, but it was still a parade. He got to be a part of this championship moment and celebration, so that was very nice that the Knicks honored the great Clyde Frazier. And then, of course, Patrick being a part of the organization now and dealing with this team and being there really day in and day out, and, of course, being a top four player in the history of the franchise, I was cool with Patrick, of course, being honored. Now, City Hall having his number up there was nonsense, and somebody obviously made a major faux pas there. But as far as what the Knicks have done for Patrick and what they did for him on Thursday, first class. And Dolan has done an unbelievable job with the alumni, once a Knick, always a Knick, in honoring the players that have come before this, you know, this new golden era of Knicks basketball.
Right. Well, to find them in the schedule comes to when they open up at home. That's going to be a hard sell.
Hope it's the Celtics.
The banner goes up.
Yeah, I hope it's the Celtics.
Yeah, Celtics. Meanwhile, Banner night in the Celtics. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I want it to be Boston because quite frankly, their fans annoy me. And also their players, they can't keep the Knicks out of their mouth. We'll see if Jaylen Brown is still there. But they think they're the cat's meow, so to speak. And they lost a game seven in their building to the corpse of Joel Embiid. So I want the cocky Celtic players and their fans watching at home to be sitting there forced to watch this banner go into the rafters in Madison Square Garden for a Knicks championship.
Interesting. Well, no, you're doing an excellent job. I do listen. You're on the best station in America. You know that.
Well, I know that.
It's a pleasure being on with you.
I appreciate that.
The fan is the fan. You can keep it up. You're doing great, by the way.
The fan is.
Excellent points tonight.
Well, thank you, Tony. The fan is the fan. You are Tony. I am Tommy. Those are undisputable facts. The fan is, in fact, the fan. You are Tony, and I am Tommy. And together, we create sweet music. But yeah, I want the, and Evan asked me this on Thursday as well. And I thank once again the architect, Hurley, Evan, Tiki, Sean, for allowing me to be a part of the parade coverage. I felt like it was the, you know what I felt? I grew up, my entire life watching, or I should say this way. When I was a kid, now I watch it more, but there was a period where I stopped watching the Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is very simple why. I mean, I can give you the answer. Wednesday night's one of the biggest drinking nights of the year, so your boy, after hours, was out all night, so I wasn't getting up for the freaking parade in the morning, that's for sure. What time did the Lions start? Okay, I'll wake up 5 minutes before that. But now that I don't necessarily go out as much as I used to, that Wednesday night, you know, I go to bed a little earlier so I could get up for the parade. But anywho, you know, I watched the parade forever. And I felt like me, Tiki, and Evan were kind of doing like Thanksgiving Day parade coverage. All right, here comes the float. Here, you know, and I kind of wanted to sound like the people that covered the parade all those years. Because that's what it felt like as we were doing play-by-play of the actual parade. So it was an honor as a sports talk host and as a fan to be a part of that. So I appreciate everybody having me there. And it was awesome. I got 1 hour sleep the night before. No biggie. Subways were packed. No biggie. They weren't letting me off at the stop that I wanted to get let off at because they weren't letting people off at the chamber spot. Exit. Stop. Whatever. No biggie. Had to walk around Lower Manhattan for a while. Couldn't figure out where City Hall is. You know, there isn't exactly a big sign that says City Hall. It's not like going to Disney World. It's not Wally World. Hello? You know, City Hall's just kind of there. You got to find it. So luckily, law enforcement, who do an amazing job and did an amazing job that day, they knew who I was. They saw me and they said, do you need to be where Evan is? I go, yeah. He goes, all right, follow me. Thank you. So a police escort for your boy to City Hall. And then hung out in the city, came and did the show. And you can still hear it in my voice. I feel like I'm running out of voice here. Well, we only have a full week of shows left, so we should be good. But yeah, it was well worth it. It was well worth it. And if I could bottle up the feelings and sell it, I'd be a billionaire. I'd be on a yacht somewhere with OnlyFans models, supermodels, Sydney Sweeney. I'd be in Ibiza, or as the locals call it, Ibiza. Yeah, I wouldn't be here, that's for sure. I'd be long gone. You wouldn't hear my voice anymore. And a lot of you would be happy. The internet would be thrilled. But that's the bottom line. You know, I hear people all the time, well, if I had all this money, I would work. Well, you're an idiot. I mean, that's really bottom line. What do you mean you'd be, what do you mean you'd be working? If you had billions of dollars, you'd work? Not me. You'd never hear Loogie ever again. Promise. In fact, if you have $1 billion you want to lend to me, I could fulfill that promise. But that feeling and that satisfaction of a championship, nothing like it. And it's one that I want again. I want a repeat. I want a dynasty, or as those across the pond say, a dynasty. And I want more of the Spurs. We got a piece. I want the whole damn thing. And I want Wemby to shake Jalen Brunson's hand now. Like it's wrestling. I want him to shake Jalen's hand. And not walk off the court like a coward. Because that's what that was. It's not the bad boy Pistons who won back-to-back championships. And they can do whatever they want as far as I'm concerned. When you are a young player in this league and the so-called face of the league going forward, for you to act that way and for you to skip the media sessions after the games and for you to be elbowing veteran players and for you to be taking Jalen Brunson's head and trying to throw him to the ground and for you to be in the landing spot of Jalen Brunson and for you to act like a spoiled brat throughout the run. Unless that was his intentions to be hated, mission accomplished. Because now Wemby is the number one villain in New York. Number one. He has no equal. Even though the Knicks won the championship, and you should feel like, well, the heck with him. Mm-mm. The Spurs aren't going anywhere, and I don't think the Knicks are going anywhere. And I do think both teams will meet again in the finals. And this time, Wemby will shake hands with Jalen. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Fan Focus. It's presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. You're going to face Wheeler, you're going to face Sanchez. Not easy. Not easy. It's going to be tough sledding if you're the Mets. You got the game that you were supposed to get. Weird sort of Thursday, then no game Friday, then Saturday and Sunday. I guess you could blame the World Cup for that or whatever the scheduling reasoning was. Here's the bottom line. You've heard me say it once. You'll hear me say it a million more times. Chip away, chip away. Get that 8-game winning streak. And then you put yourselves in a position where you could get back into this. And you may not like hearing this. You may think this is positive, Tommy, being too positive. But when you look at this schedule for June and the quality of competition, if the Mets come out of June with a 500 record, I would say that is a good month. It's a good month. It means you had been 500 or better every month this year besides April. Now you go to work in July, you roll the sleeves up, you have that 8-game winning streak. You get to right around the All-Star break, right after it, where you are in position to make a run at October. By the way, Bryce Harper having a cycle on Saturday, that's more, I mean, if forget no hitters, forget perfect games, and he almost had another one tonight. The cycle is one of the most rare accomplishments in baseball. You never see that anymore. Very difficult to do. I know A.J. Ewing almost had one. Like I said, Harper almost had another one Sunday night. But for Harper to get the, and Bryce Harper, don't even get me started. Panderer. Guy's a Cowboy fan. He walks around like he's Mr. Philadelphia Eagle. At least the guys on my basketball team, they don't hide who they root for. But he did get a cycle, Harper did. And I give him credit for that. And that's one of those things that you can have the no-hitter, you can have the perfect game, I'll take the cycle. To me, that is the hardest accomplishment in all sports these days, as far as individually. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie here in the late night. A Big Legowski, a five-hour After Hours. We got one more hour to go. We'll take your calls. We'll reset the Knicks conversation as well. 888-808-1019. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. It is After Hours. Loogie in the late night here on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.